I'm Jim Benson, and you're listening to TV Time Machine. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and visit our show archives at tvtimemachine.com.
Enjoy a Charlie Brown Christmas. Meet Charlie Brown, Schroeder and Beethoven, Lucy, and that impudent hound, Snoopy. Be here as your favorite comic strip comes to life. This year, enjoy a Charlie Brown Christmas.
We're back again with executive producer of the Charlie Brown specials, Lee Mendelson, right here on the TV Time Machine. Well, we haven't forgotten about him, so here's a clip of Mr. Charlie Brown receiving a bit of therapy from his psychiatrist, Dr. Lucy Van Pelt.
Are you afraid of responsibility? If you are, then you have hypangeophobia.
I don't think that's quite it.
How about cats? If you're afraid of cats, you have aphasia.
Well, sort of. But I'm not sure.
Or maybe you have pantophobia. Do you think you have pantophobia?
What's pantophobia?
The fear of everything.
That's it!
Lee, what similarities did Charles Schulz share with Charlie Brown, and what were their differences?
Well, Charles Schulz used to say that Charlie Brown was the way he was and Snoopy was the way he wished he could be. Mm-hmm. His real life growing up was kind of rough for him. And was Charlie Brown-like, and he was jumped ahead 2 grades in grammar school, and suddenly he was the skinniest and shortest and youngest in his class, and they picked on him quite a bit. A lot of his growing up, Mr. Schulz's, came right into the strip and was really the basis of the whole strip.
It is kind of ironic because obviously he felt like he maybe had a little inferiority complex growing up, and he felt like he didn't really live up to expectations, but he certainly exceeded expectations as an adult. I mean, he really was able to be the victor after what he experienced as a kid.
Well, that's true, and that's probably the whole theme of Charlie Brown keeps coming back, no matter how many times he gets knocked down. Mm-hmm. And in fact, although he loses most of the time, on occasion he wins. He certainly wins
that
Charlie Brown Christmas.
That's true.
And people forget the few times that he won, but he never will. I think everybody thought the last strip, and after 50 years, was going to be Charlie Brown kicking the football finally.
Mm-hmm.
But no, it didn't happen.
Yeah, it's interesting because in A Charlie Brown Christmas, Charlie Brown, he's made fun of and he's ridiculed, but
right.
he's really the one who understands the spirit of Christmas
right.
more than anybody else.
Well, Linus, what he didn't understand, Linus teaches him, and they're good partners throughout the years.
Right.
Linus is, I think Mr. Schulz felt that if the kids ever grew up, that Linus was going to be the most stable.
Right.
If he ever got rid of his blanket.
That's true.
But he enjoyed, Mr. Schulz did, drawing that strip every day, even though he said it was like a term paper. Mm-hmm. He couldn't wait to sit down and come up with something new and something fresh. And, of course, what he gave us on television was a repertory company of characters that we could star in different shows. You know, one time it could be Peppermint Patty. Sometime it could be Linus. Didn't always have to be Charlie Brown.
Well, Lee, another character featured in A Charlie Brown Christmas was Charlie Brown's little sister, Sally, heard here in the following clip.
Dear Santa Claus, how have you been? Did you have a nice summer? How is your wife?
I have been extra good this year, so I have a long list of presents that I want.
Oh, brother.
Lee, weren't there some production challenges with the little girl who played Sally?
Sally was always one of my favorite characters, and she was the youngest in the cast. She was always like a 6-year-old.
Right.
And we had to feed her one line at a time, or sometimes a couple of words at a time. And I remember on the Great Pumpkin Show, around 11 o'clock at night, we had recorded most of the show, and they were neighbors of ours, and then Mother called and said, she's about to lose her front tooth. And I said, well, why are you telling me? She says, well, you're supposed to record next week, and if she loses her tooth, she's going to be listening. So we called the recording studio, went up like midnight, and did the last lines of A Great Pumpkin, where she's screaming and yelling at Linus.
Right.
So she was always fun to do. I mean, whoever played Sally at 6 years old and 7 years old. And again, I think Stacey Ferguson was Sally, of course, for a couple of years.
Well, this little girl, you literally, didn't you have to record her piece by piece and put all the pieces together?
Yeah, sometimes half a sentence.
Yeah.
Sometimes one word at a time.
And the strange thing, it actually works.
Well, she sounds a little stuttering at occasion, it's not perfect, and that, for some reason, that's kind of the reality that I think that using real kids' voices brought to the shows.
Right. It gave it an authenticity.
We used to record up at Coast Recorders in San Francisco where all the great musicians recorded, Nat King Cole and everybody. And I remember the Jefferson Airplane came over to get the kids' autographs, and the kids and the parents couldn't figure why would the airplane want, want their autographs.
Well, Lee, in our next clip, Lucy and Charlie Brown talk about the production of the Christmas play.
Look, Charlie, let's face it. We all know that Christmas is a big commercial racket. It's run by a big Eastern syndicate, you know.
Well, this is one play that's not going to be commercial.
Look, Charlie Brown, what do you want?
The proper mood. We need a Christmas tree.
Hey, perhaps a tree. A great, big, shiny aluminum Christmas tree. That's it, Charlie Brown. You get the tree. I'll handle this crowd.
Lee, was that an inside joke? Lucy's reference to Syndicate back east, or am I...
Oh, yeah, that was Charles Schulz just teasing his United Features Syndicate back east. That's all that was.
Right.
Yeah.
Was that something that he frequently did, that you frequently did? Did you, you know, if you inserted a lot of inside jokes?
Well, the best inside joke, we did a show on the, going through the Smithsonian, and they'd go to the Air and Space Museum, and Charlie Brown would see the Snoopy and Charlie Brown modules from Apollo 10 and wonder why they were named that. And then they went to the Entertainment Museum, the History Museum, and they saw a comic strip of themselves up on the wall. And she said, why are we in the Smithsonian? And that was, I think that was the most in thing we ever did.
That's great.
But we once in a while we do that, not too much.
Well, of course, one of the most beloved Peanuts characters, as we've talked about, is Linus, who delivers the most memorable soliloquy of the special, as we'll hear in the following clip.
For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, Jesus Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
Lee, I believe it's Christopher Shea who plays Linus?
Yes, we were so lucky to have him. He had the perfect voice. Had maturity and innocence at the same time. I remember when Mr. Schulz said he was going to do it, and when we did the outline for Coca-Cola way back before we started production, and Bill and I were a little apprehensive, you know, we said, well, you know, animated characters have never spoken from the Bible before to our knowledge, and then I remember Sparky Schulz said, well, if we don't do it, Bill, who will?
Right.
And that's how that whole thing came about.
So did the network particularly have any trepidation about
no,
that?
No. I don't know what, it's funny, we don't know what, with all the political correctness now, today, if that would have been a problem or not, but back then, no, not a peep.
Did you ever imagine, at the time, the profound impact this special would have on children and families around the world, and that that experience and joy of watching a Charlie Brown Christmas would be passed on from generation to generation?
No, we were in total shock. Bill Melendez and I, as I mentioned, thought we had ruined Charlie Brown when we finished the show, and the network didn't like it, so we figured it was going to be one and out. I would go back to doing my documentaries, and Bill would go back to do his commercials, and we were astounded. Mr. Schulz was not. He thought the show was good, and he expected it would do very well, and it did. And no, we're still in shock. You know, it's just amazing how long and enduring this has been. And the strangest thing for me is, in connection to the show, when it was finished about 3 weeks before we delivered it, the opening song was an instrumental, and I was thought we should get some voices or some lyrics, and I couldn't find anybody to write the lyrics. I called all my friends in Hollywood who were songwriters. So I sat down and in about 10 minutes wrote, you know, the words to Christmas Time Is Here.
Wow.
Which the kids then sang for us, and now it's become a standard at Christmas time. In fact, I can't go into a store where, you know, at Christmas it's not playing.
Right.
And that's a very weird thing.
Yeah.
And it's been covered like 100 times, and recently by Tony Bennett, which just blew my mind.
Wow.
All from a last-minute thought we had.
That's amazing. Lee, as you look back at your accomplishments and really being responsible for some of the finest moments in TV history, what are your thoughts?
Well, we started in a time in the 60s where you could really have an impact. And our Charlie Brown shows could get a 45 or 50 share of audience because they were just the three networks, of course. Mm-hmm. And that audience has stuck with us. They're now grandparents and parents, and they've stuck with us throughout the years. So it's been a very wonderful and joyful ride for all of us. And it's all due to these wonderful little characters that Mr. Schultz created, which are quoted daily all around the world in one fashion or another. And he was a true genius. He was a philosopher. He was a comedian. He was an entertainer. He was an artist. And he crammed all that into four little squares in a way that nobody has done before and probably never will do again.
Well, Lee, it's been a tremendous pleasure having you aboard the TV Time Machine. Feel free to join us again in the future or in the past. And I want to thank you for myself and everybody out there for Charlie Brown Christmas and all of your Peanuts specials.
Well, thank you. You've been a splendid interviewer, and our thanks to all the readers and viewers of Charlie Brown.
Merry Christmas, Charlie Brown!
Hark the herald angels sing.
This is Jim Benson. Join us again next time as our magical transport turns back the pages of history and takes us on yet another journey exploring both vintage and modern-day television classics. You'll find your next adventure right here on the TV Time Machine.